This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome aboard San Francisco Bay Ferry. Please pay close attention to the following announcements regarding passenger safety. In the unlikely event of emergency, passengers should remain calm and follow crew member instructions. Children must be accompanied and supervised by an adult at all times. Running is not permitted. Smoking is not allowed anywhere on the vessel or gangway at any time. Enjoy the ride, and thank you for traveling with San Francisco Bay Ferry.
You just heard the sounds of San Francisco Bay Ferry, the coolest mode of public transit on the planet. Heather, do you get jealous when you're on a crowded BART train pulling into the Civic Center and see an impossibly stunning ferry photo show up on my Twitter timeline?
I definitely do. I'm very envious that that's your commute to work. Much better than mine. But I will say that at least I get to ride a lot more cable cars and F cars than you do.
Yeah, I get jealous of your historic streetcar shots that usually come like clockwork at about 5:30 on Friday. I think jealousy fuels a lot of this podcast, by the way. I do often feel left out not living in San Francisco anymore, and I get jealous of you for that. But getting a commute on the ferry makes up for a lot of it. And our guest today is San Francisco Bay Area Water Emergency Transportation Authority Executive Director Seamus Murphy. He's the San Francisco Bay Ferry Director, who we interviewed on a ferry to Richmond. This is our second interview of Transit Month, and I had a fabulous time, Heather.
It was a great day. Beautiful weather, great conversation, and the ferry makes for a surprisingly quiet podcast studio. I think we should do that again.
I definitely think we should do it again. I think we should do it, though, even though it was like 10 a.m., we should do it when the bar is open, because we should have both had a beer while we were doing that interview. That was the only drawback, nothing else.
I knew you were disappointed by that. Anybody who listened to our previous episode called A Perfect Day in San Francisco knows that Peter's perfect day involves a lot of alcohol before noon.
And edibles. Don't forget about edibles.
Oh, yes. How could I forget?
So this ferry ride was fantastic. It cost right around $5, and we're going by Alcatraz. We went all the way to Richmond. It was a beautiful, like, 35-minute ride. Like you said, very quiet. I don't know why more people don't do this just for fun.
I'm kind of thinking we need to head to Pier 39 and just be good Samaritans and let the tourists in line for the really expensive boat rides know that there's a much cheaper option out of the ferry building.
Yeah, I agree with you, but Pier 39 is kind of hurting too. So I think we should wait till next summer till we give that directive. The Pier 39 cannot survive by sea lions alone. Well, we have Total Transit 2022 coming up Wednesday, September 28th. This is part of it. We're spending the whole month interviewing transit leaders and just kind of getting a little bit of advice, getting some tips for this incredible adventure we're going to take. We're going to try and ride as many of the 27 transit agencies in the Bay Area in one day. And I feel woefully unprepared right now.
So do I. We really need to double check these routes that our readers have been sending in, because we can't take their word for it. We should actually do our own reporting and make sure that this is going to work.
I agree. I do not want to be cramming on Tuesday, September 27th, so we will get on it. We do get some tips from Seamus Murphy. I think this counts as studying. I'm Peter Harlob, here with Heather Knight, lobbying to make the ferry our permanent podcast studio, and this is Total SF.
Thank you very much.
Seamus Murphy, welcome to Total SF.
Thank you.
You are the executive director of the Water Emergency Transportation Authority. Where did the emergency come from?
It's interesting. The emergency was added on a little bit later, and it was added because people realized that water transit might be essential if there's a disaster, if there's something that knocks out highways, bridges, and people don't have a good way of getting around. First responders don't have direct access to be where they need to be. In the case of an emergency, water transit might be the only way to get there. So some smart folks made sure that we were equipped and obligated to provide those services if those disasters ever occur. There's been some cases where vessels have been used, like the Loma Prieta earthquake, for example. Vessels were used to transport people and first responders in that emergency. And so it's likely we'll need to do that again, and we just prepared to help however we can.
Loma Prieta, it wasn't just the ferry. I mean, weren't there private vessels? And it was kind of like Dunkirk without all the fighter planes.
That's right.
My understanding.
Yeah, I think that's what made people realize, one of the things that made people realize that we needed to have an organized water transit response so that we would have trained folks available to assist in those cases. And we actually have the ability as an organization to call on private vessels, Blue and Gold, private operators, our partners at Golden Gate Ferry, and utilize those resources to help if WIDA resources aren't enough to be able to respond.
What about that little new Treasure Island boat? Can you call that
one? I love that one.
We could. Yeah, we have a pretty broad authority. I love that one too. We're looking forward to providing that service eventually. It's just great to see that that development finally starting to happen.
I love that it has a splash of Giants orange on it.
Oh, good call. I hadn't thought about that. That's great.
So we're on a Hydrus class boat to Richmond. Thank you for calling it in. What boat are we on, and what can you tell me about this boat?
This is the Cetus. It was the Hydrus was the second class, I believe, that WIDA built. The first class was the Gemini class, and Hydrus is a little bit bigger. The Gemini class is 225 passengers. This one is approaching 400, I believe. And so we built these vessels because ferry service was really just dramatically increasing in terms of ridership demand. We were having trouble accommodating passengers during our first decade of service, and we needed bigger boats. So this vessel was kind of just what the doctor ordered for us to be able to meet that demand.
Well, it's very quiet. I think it's the only public transportation vessel, bus, train, whatever, that we would even attempt to record a podcast on. So sounds good. How often do you get to ride the ferry? Do you have a ferry commute? Are you a ferry rider?
I do. It's the Larkspur ferry, so it's not the WIDA system, but I commute from Larkspur on the ferry and then try to get out on our system as much as I can. We're here today, so this is a great opportunity to do that. We do a lot of tours of our system for regulators and funders of the ferry system, and then just being out in regular service and seeing how it's working for customers is really important. Our whole team really does that, and that's one of the things that we encourage, is for the team to use the service, make observations about how it can be better and what we're doing well, and recognize the crews and our captains and the staff for everything that we're doing right.
Do you ride other ferry systems? What's like the gold standard? Like, you know, does like someone like Amsterdam have this absolutely through the roof one that everybody envies?
There's a lot of places that we aspire to be in terms of ferry service in the future. Amsterdam would be one of them. Seattle, for sure, is another one. I've ridden more ferries in the last year and a half than I have in my whole life, and been to some places like Sweden and Norway, where they're really experimenting with electric and hydrogen-powered vessels. They're at the forefront of that. New York City has a fantastic new ferry system on the East River that is really frequent, operates a bunch of vessels that they built all at once, and attracts a good amount of regular commuters and also tourists. And that's becoming a big, more important part of our ridership demographic, too, is the leisure travel and tourism market.
You also worked for Samtrans and Caltrain in communications. Do you have a public transit origin story, a bus or boat or train ride that you loved as a kid?
You know, not as a kid in terms of a public transit origin story, but I ended up at Samtrans, who, you know, that agency also is responsible for administering the Caltrain system. And I love working on big projects, getting major capital programs across the goal line. And when the voters approved high-speed rail, the high-speed rail bond for that statewide project, I went to work for Caltrain and Samtrans to try and get that system electrified and use the high-speed rail as a leverage point to do that.
So running a ferry system wasn't what you said when adults would ask you what you wanted to do when you grew
up? It wasn't, but I got to tell you, I think it's the best public transit system in the Bay Area. I think that...
Definitely the best views.
The views, for sure, are just can't be beat. We have a lot of amenities that have helped us really inspire new ridership during the pandemic. We've tried to lean into that as much as we can. And we have big projects, too, that we need to move forward with down the road, electrification being one of those.
Quick Samtrans question. I already asked you this before the podcast, but I grew up riding Samtrans, took it to Niner games, took it to school. There was always a rumor that Bruce Springsteen's dad was a Samtrans bus driver. Can you confirm or...
I can't confirm that. I don't know that that's true.
I
don't know that it's not true. So I guess that's a good point. But I do know some people I can ask to make sure.
Okay. You can get back to
okay,
figure
out if we're going to find that out. We will get that out on Twitter.
Now, you know, the Caltrain logo that we affectionately call the meatball that was the inspiration for the YouTube logo.
Really?
So the founders of YouTube who were daily Caltrain riders, and they used that Caltrain logo to inspire the YouTube logo. That's a little San Mateo County piece of transit history for you.
You know, a lot of the weird stuff is true. Nicolas Cage's dad designed the Tactile Dome at the Exploratorium.
Oh.
That's actually true.
I'm like, what else do you say in the Chronicle?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about history. In the 1930s, there were 60 million passengers crossing the bay by ferry each year. I actually found an old map, and there was a ferry terminal at San Quentin Point.
Really?
I mean,
wow.
Like places you wouldn't expect it. Ferry people did not want the Golden Gate Bridge built. The bridges are built, and ridership plummets. 1958, the Chronicle in July wrote a series of goodbye to the ferries. I mean, it was like dead and buried. They're not coming back. I'm going to read you. This is one of our. This is called A Wake for the Ferries from Charles McCabe in 1958. It has been noted that to say goodbye is to die a little. If this wry bit of vintage wisdom holds, there will be a little death for thousands of San Franciscans and their friends across the bay and everywhere else with the final ride of the Transbay Ferry. At 11:30 p.m. Tuesday, the 240-foot steamer San Leandro, the last of what railroad men have called for generations, their lovely old ladies, will slither out of her slip in front of the ferry building on the last passenger run to Oakland. And that will mark the end of the Bay's ferry boats, the end of an era, an occasion for bittersweet celebration, for sounding the elegiac note, for remembrance of lovely things past. And then the ferry was pretty much done as public transit for about 30 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just glad that eulogy was premature.
Yeah, right.
And that the rumors of the demise were greatly exaggerated, and that everything old is new again.
Yeah.
You know, we're really happy with that there is demand for ferry service, that that wasn't the funeral for ferry service. And I think just naturally, when you have a place like the Bay Area that is as attractive as it is and has grown as quickly as it is and experienced the challenges associated with that, you need to make sure that you have everything available in your arsenal to address those challenges. And ferries have been critical to that and will be moving forward.
Well, the ferry system was booming and then we hit the pandemic. What was the low point for ridership?
We were below 10%.
Wow.
At some point, like any other regional system that's dependent on fares to a large extent like we are, you know, it was a perfect storm of negative impacts for a transit system mm-hmm. like WEDA.
And how did that affect the ferry's long-term plans?
Well, you know, we just had to pause everything for a little while and try and figure out what was happening and how we were going to weather this storm. And thankfully, the federal government came through with a significant amount of COVID relief funding that allowed us to maintain service for essential workers that need it during the pandemic, and then to bring it back and try and incentivize ridership moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And San Francisco Bay Ferry consolidated different ferry systems in the Bay. Do you think public transit in the Bay Area could benefit from more consolidation and coordination? That's part of what we're doing this Transit Month, is focusing on the 27 different agencies that don't do a great job collaborating.
Huge topic. I mean, I think if we were playing Sim City, I don't think anybody would say, you know, what we need for the Bay Area is 27 different agencies all operating separately with different rules about fares. You know, we would probably figure out how to consolidate that a little bit more, but reverse engineering it is hugely problematic if you don't go about it in a careful way.
Uh-huh.
So we need to think, you know, about how we're going to do that, and it's best to make sure that we're making a strong business case for it. Public transit, where we are now with our budgets, very vulnerable to, and everybody has a fiscal cliff that they're looking out towards, and there's going to be something that needs to be done to make sure that we can preserve transit service moving forward. So using this as an opportunity to focus on things that are going to attract new riders to the system, that are going to help us realize efficiencies in our operations to minimize costs if we can, and then ultimately to make the rider experience better so that we can attract a larger share of the travelers that are out there to transit. We can't just wait for riders to come back to the system. We have to make these systems better and attract a larger mode split to transit.
How much of an impact can the ferry system have? I mean, can you make the Bay Bridge 5% less busy? You know, is there a ceiling? What's kind of the possibilities?
I don't think anybody knows, but we want to test the impacts that we can have. We have a business plan that's looking out to 2050, which of course means you have to make some huge assumptions about what the commute patterns are going to be at that time, and what other transit systems might emerge at that time, what the demand for water transit might be. Waterfront development is happening all over the Bay Area, and so we think that in the absence of a ferry system and the dramatic expansion of our system, there would be huge congestion impacts, air quality impacts, equity impacts if we don't expand our system and try and use it as a catalyst for providing mobility alternatives to those new developments.
Well, I got on a new boat the other day, the Dorado. I think it's the closest a commuter can get to feeling that they're commuting on Leo DiCaprio's yacht. It was lovely. It was fast. Question one, is it nuclear powered? Because
no.
I threw that out there on social media.
No, it's not, but it feels like it, right? I mean,
yeah.
It is, it's state of the art. It is one of the last diesel vessels that we're going to procure for our system. We have three more exactly like it being built up in Seattle. But it's a nice boat. You could throw a wedding on that aft deck.
Can people rent out ferries for stuff like that?
You can't, because we have regulations against that. We can't charter our vessels, just like a bus system can't charter its buses. But
you can charter a cable car.
Well, and look, I think we've had some spontaneous weddings on the ferry system. It might not be rented out, but for the cost of a regular fare, you can get you and a bunch of guests out there, and if you do it fast enough, you can get married.
Yeah. I'm guessing spontaneous weddings, but the big thing has to be spontaneous Neptune Society, people spreading their ashes. I assume that's not allowed.
That's not allowed. No, that's not allowed.
We won't encourage it.
We discourage that.
We'll be right back after this short break. Where can ferries go from here? I keep getting on and there's new classes. I've been only riding for 6 years and I think there have been, you know, 2-3 upgrades in classes. Where can we go from here? Dorado's there. Are there bigger ferries than that? Are there cleaner ferries?
There are bigger ferries for sure. There are cleaner ferries on the way. We have grant funding to procure what will be the Bay Area and maybe the country's first zero emission high speed ferry vessels. And those are going to be in the range of 100 to 150 passengers. We think that a small vessel strategy might be just what we need to attract more riders to the system. because it's frequency. We're able to achieve more frequency with those smaller vessels that are moving passengers at a higher speed. They're going to be all electric, and so we have a bunch of work that we need to do on the infrastructure side, on the shore side, to be able to operate those vessels moving forward. And just the way that the network looks is going to be different. Right now, we have a hub and spoke system. It's attracting all of the riders from the outlying areas of the bay to San Francisco, and that's been the business model that's worked really well for WIDA. We were the fastest growing transit system in the bay before the pandemic. We've been the fastest to come back, but our system might look different than a hub and spoke model moving forward. It might look like a spider web. We might be connecting places that we never thought were ripe for connections. And all of a sudden they are, because of changing commute patterns and the way that people have moved around the Bay Area and the way that companies are moving their headquarters and their offices around the Bay Area too. Those are all things that are, you know, in process right now. We don't know what that new normal looks
like. Are we talking about more on the peninsula? Are we talking, I think this Donahue Landing, I'm looking at a 1930s map here. I mean, can you go north of Larkspur? Is that the limit?
I mean, it gets pretty shallow up there, but it's anything is possible if there's a will for it. And that's one of the things that we're encouraging as a part of our business plan process. We're in the visioning stage, and there will be a service vision that emerges that we want to phase in over time. It's a business plan, so we need to figure out how to pay for it. But connecting places like Larkspur even to Oakland and the East Bay, that's not an easy commute to make by transit. Connecting the East Bay to places further south on the peninsula like Redwood City, another really difficult commute to make on transit. If we can make that easier for folks, that's the kind of solutions we want to focus on.
You have great social media and seem to have constantly positive feedback. Who handles your social media?
Well, that's Tom Hall. I was shocked that to learn that Tom was a one-man shop when I came over to WIDA. We've addressed that by adding some staff to Tom's group, and he has a terrific set of consultants that help out with that work. But Tom is really the brain trust and our strategist on the social media side, and more than just that, on our marketing side, all the creative marketing ideas that we've used to attract riders back during the pandemic are coming from Tom Hall.
Whose idea was it to give away trading cards on the boat?
Well, that's Tom's idea.
Yeah. Tom's over here right now.
Tom's with us, and I'll try not to embarrass him, but yeah, he comes up with extremely creative ideas to, you know, make. He's one of the reasons why the customer satisfaction for the ferry system is 95%. I was shocked when I saw a public transit system with 95% customer satisfaction.
Happens.
It never happens, but it happens here. We're lucky.
Well, we'll be engaging in Total Transit 2022 on September 28th. Can we get a commitment of ferry support on social media on this day that we will be... explain this, Heather. We're going to be... I keep
it's a crazy idea.
Yeah, like we're like the Olive Garden restaurant owners who are like the secret... what do you call it?
Shoppers.
The secret shoppers. Yeah.
We're going to go try to ride as many of the 27 different agencies as we can in one day and see how bad the connections are, or how good maybe. See what it's really like to try to connect all of these when you're a rider. We've heard some pretty bad stories.
Yeah, I think that's one of the areas that the region's focused on right now. You can certainly count on our support for that day. I think it's a great idea, and interested to read about your experience doing that and listen to a podcast, hopefully, about that. I encourage you to look at the bus connections to our seaplane terminal. There's a great AC transit connection. You get a free bus ride when you connect to seaplane. It's the newest of our terminals. We opened it during the pandemic, and it's been one of our fastest growing routes.
I love it. That's what I came in on today. Will the bar be open that day? When do they start selling beer? Do they sell at 10 a.m.? Because that's probably about when we're going to be getting on, and it's probably our only transit opportunity to have a drink.
I don't know about that. It should be open at 10 a.m. On that route. We all know that recruiting workers has been one of the most challenging parts of the pandemic, and just as we recover from it, it continues to be challenging. We're lucky that our crews and our captains we haven't had an issue with that, so we've been able to bring service back. We were the first system in the Bay Area to bring service back. But recruiting workers for our concessions has been a challenge. And back to the 95% customer satisfaction rating, the 5% wasn't about on-time performance. It wasn't about the operation of the system. It was largely about the concessions on board and making sure that they're as good as they need to be to you know, really take advantage of that amenity, which is unique to our system.
That is not the feedback that Muni or BART gets.
Yeah, it's hard to do concessions on a bus. Yeah.
Well, you've survived our serious questions, and now it's time for the lightning round.
All right.
And you can answer Bay Area-wide. You don't have to be San Francisco-specific. Where is your place, your favorite place to get a burrito?
Oh, I love La Taqueria in the Mission. I'm sure that's a common answer. But Papalote, too. Uh-huh. I'm a big Papalote fan. And, you know, in my home stomping grounds in Marin, Taqueria Cancun probably has to be the best.
What's your favorite movie filmed in the Bay Area?
Favorite movie film? Oh, The Rock.
That's great.
Yeah, with Nick Cage.
Great we one. Showed that for a crowd, and people just loved it. I think that was our best movie night.
Yes. Yeah. Where's your favorite place to get a stiff drink? Maybe on a ferry.
Oh, ferry's a perfect answer. I mean, you, views that change while you're on board. Yeah, has to be the ferry.
What's your order?
My order for a stiff drink?
Yeah, on the ferry. I'm like, when you're on the ferry, are you going to get like a screwdriver? Are you going to get a beer?
It probably depends on the time of day. What are you going to get at 10 a.m.?
Oh, the screwdriver. You got to have some fruit juice. I mean, vitamin C. You got to get through the day. Yeah. Don't want to get scurvy. You're on a boat. So, yeah, the screwdriver. Or a Greyhound if they have the grapefruit juice. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, end of the day, you know, IPA on board.
I'm a big IPA fan. Peter hates them.
I get headaches.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was I'm trying to make sure I get this right. My first concert was the Rolling Stones.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Good
where?
One.
In Denver at Mile High Stadium, the original Mile High Stadium. And they told us it was going to be the last concert that the tour that the Rolling Stones were going to do.
Kinda
and
like
I think
the
they've had like four or five since then.
Oh, yeah. I've been writing in the Chronicle. 1981 was the first time we said this may be the last one.
Yeah.
It was
yeah,
40
yeah.
years ago.
What was the last book you read?
The last book I read was The Book of Basketball by a sports writer named Bill Simmons. I'm a big NBA fan, and he's about the best NBA writer out there.
What is the coolest ferry-adjacent landmark? The ferry building, the USS Hornet aircraft carrier, Oracle Park, or something else?
It's got to be the ferry building. I walked through there this morning before hopping on board, and I mean, there's just new shops opening up all the time. It's been great to see it rebound. The foot traffic is just about back to what it used to be, and no better place. I mean, there's no complaints about concessions at the ferry building. It's the best around.
Muni has wrapped many buses in Lunchables advertising, which is proving very controversial. Could this ever happen on a ferry boat?
We're exploring increasing advertising on board. And look, we have to because it's a revenue opportunity and we have declining revenues. They're coming back, but we need to extend our runway as much as we can. So we are looking at advertising policies moving forward that would allow us to expand advertising on board. The outside of the vessel, not going to happen.
Please don't cover the windows.
We can't cover the windows. Yeah, we can't. There's some BCDC regulations that prevent us from advertising on the outside of vessels, so we won't be doing that.
I'm pro Lunchables. I was thinking like the perfect thing right around Thanksgiving, like a butterball turkey. It's like the right shape. And you could no.
It's good. It's a good idea. I mean, Caltrain does. They have some great train wraps, so you know it would be interesting to explore that. I love the Treasure Island Giants observation.
Yeah.
So we provide a lot of Giants service, a lot of Warriors service. Having some theme on board along those lines would be interesting to explore.
What's your favorite spot on the ferry system to take a photo?
Oh, it's got to be coming into the downtown terminal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Instagram central. You just see that's all people are doing on the aft deck when we're pulling into the terminal or leaving. So, and we've got so many tourists that are using the ferry system just to get those skyline views now. It's a central part of our ridership market. It's got to be the downtown terminal. Yeah.
Last question. What's one thing you always make sure to squeeze into your busy day?
Try to get a bike ride in. I ride the bike to the Larkspur terminal and back home. So try to get, if you can make exercise a part of your commute, there's no beating that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much for having us on the ferry today.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I've been riding for 6 years. I tell people, like, I got an inch taller because when I was on BART, I was just hunched over and stressed. And nothing against BART. It's doing a good job. But I came on here and there's, like, drinks and I can work. I get more work done on the ferry. I thought about just staying on the ferry. I'd be a more productive
worker. I've thought about
worker.
That, too. I want to do that. Just spend a day riding the system and working. You know, we have Wi-Fi. You can easily get
it done. Yeah, we can work remotely,
so
who cares? Yeah. We should do it.
You know what? That's a good... Make the ferry your remote workplace. Yeah, I like that.
Well, thank you very much. And I think we got through without an announcement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the San Francisco Chronicle. Our music today is from the Sunset Shipwrecks, Castro organ player David Hegarty, and cable car bell ringing from 8-time champion Byron Cobb. Support Total SF and the newsroom that creates it by investing in a digital Chronicle edition. It's less expensive than you think at sfchronicle.com/pod.
Your attention, please. The vessel is about to arrive at our destination. For your safety and the safety of those around you, do not stand or form a line at the doors. Remain seated until the vessel is secured to the dock. If this is your final destination, take a moment to gather your belongings before leaving the vessel. Enjoy your day. We appreciate your patronage and hope to see you again soon.